It is with joy and thanksgiving that I bid you greetings in the precious name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and it is my delight to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I trust that indeed there will be things found here that will first and foremost bring honor and glory unto the Lord our God, and then would be to the building up in the most holy faith of those who love his appearing, and that it might speak to the heart of some in the way of the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit quickening the truth in them, that they might indeed look to the Lamb of God, that they might come with repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We are ever setting before men the only way of salvation. I use the term sometimes pressing the necessity of the gospel upon all men. And my meaning is just quite simply this, that there is no other way. The men want to try to accommodate all kinds of things. And I've heard people say, well, you worship God your way and I'll worship God my way. And it's not about anybody's way except God's way. I've heard others say, well, I've got my God, you've got your God, and we may be just seeing the same God in the same way. No, he left us his word. It's a miraculous thing that he has done in preserving his word unto this very hour, that which was assembled over millenniums by 40 plus authors. And that it is done on three continents and yet comes together in perfect harmony and in perfect unity in setting forth the praise of our God through Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Thus, our Lord himself would make the declaration that no man comes to the Father but by me. And so, with that thought in mind, we dare not preach any other. We preach Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. We have no other message. It is only the message of the work of our substitute, our great King, our great prophet, our great high priest. And in accomplishing what was needed to be done, he made the sacrifice, offered himself in the stead of those who come to call upon the Lord, seeking his mercy. One like me, undeserving of the least of the mercies and the truth that he has shown unto his servant, and yet at the same time finding the place of joy, finding the place of rest, as I am assured by the operations of the Holy Spirit, that in believing upon him and trusting on him, that I have been brought into that way of restoration and fellowship in the presence of God. It's not of myself. I didn't start it. I didn't sustain it. I can't keep it going. It is of his mercy and grace. And I bid you then to look to him in that way. He is marvelous in all of his appearance. He is wonderful in all of his works. He is successful in everything that he has set out to do. There shall be discovered no miscarriage of anything which God determined to do, but his will shall be perfectly carried out. And so I bid you look to him. There is hope to be found in no other. I want to go to the book of Revelation today, and this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelations, and it's none of the other things that man seems to get carried away with, but it is that declaration or the revelation of Jesus Christ, given by Jesus Christ, and it is he that is revealed herein. I'm going to look into the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and I do so realizing that there's much controversy around this book. There's a lot of speculation about this book. There's a lot of supposition. And I have heard over the long period of my time in both as a believer and in the ministry that so many different constructs, that is, so many different ways that men understand this book. And I would give you one thing that would be critical as you read the book of Revelation. Look to see that it is Jesus Christ who is always victorious, and that indeed it is He that is all glorious, and that all honor, glory, and praise is unto Him. The tone of the book is set very early on when He appears to John and said, I'm He that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And there was that realization of who He was. A few weeks ago, we brought a message on this broadcast of just of looking with John into heaven. And there we looked, of course, at the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Today, I want to declare unto you the sovereign Lamb of God. Sovereign, what does it mean? All-powerful, almighty, in possession of all rule and reign, having perfect right and ability to carry out all of His will and purpose. And even the heathen king was made to say that there is none that can stay His hand nor say, what doest thou? So I'm going to read to you the chapter, the fifth chapter. It's 14 verses, but it's worth the time to read, and I hope to be able to adequately convey to you what I want to do today. And I do so in the interest that God be glorified, Jesus Christ be exalted, and that we might be built up in the most holy faith. Revelation 5:1, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. And may God bless the reading of His word. May we be blessed in the hearing of His word. May we understand that it is God's word and not ours. And so our topic here today is the sovereignty of Christ as he appears both as the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, what's our purpose? That we might join the chorus of worshipers. I hope you caught that toward the end, and I'll say more to it, or it's my intent to say more about it as we come to the end of the message today. But the fact is that we would be engaged, ever engaged, in praising the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Don't ever let that escape from you. You may form all sorts of thoughts. You may pat yourself on the back and say, I've got the book of Revelation figured out. And I rather doubt that. But in any event, it's one of those things. There are some things that I have figured out about it. There are some things that have been revealed to me, perhaps I should say. And I love the thought that is ever present with all that we see. First of all that are there are relegating all the attention to the Lamb of God and to this, to as he's characterized here as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so as we look at this, we understand that chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation are filled with the glory of God and the praise to the Lamb of God. And so we do well to focus on that at this point in reading the book. That is the entire book. Men are so caught up in trying to pinpoint the timing of events. And these times, Christ told the disciples just before he ascended back into glory, but of the times and seasons, you have no need of knowing these things. And they're all relegated to the knowledge of God. Our business is to obey him. It is to preach his gospel. It is to honor him in all that we do. So the fascination with many in trying to determine future events is such that they overlook this most valuable portion, the praise that is forthcoming therein, and that all is centered in Christ. From this point on, all we see is victory. All we see is glory. And this, we would understand that. And there are many thoughts, and I will just briefly share with you some thoughts. And we've said this before in other messages on the book of Revelation. There are some that believe that everything in the book of Revelation is already finished. And I do believe that they're in error. I think that there are some that hold that it's partially, there are things that are described here that are either have been done or are in process of being done, and yet much of it is still to come, and especially the consummation of all things, the marriage of the Lamb, that is yet to come. And so as we read of these various things, some have chosen to see this as everything is yet out in the future, that nothing in the book of Revelation after the fourth chapter has yet occurred. And so even maybe they're thinking in terms of this, but John was caught up and he saw it then. John probably died about 90 or 100 A.D., he was an elderly man when this took place, when he wrote his epistles as well as the gospel. And so with John, it was in the right now. It looked toward, and the book of Revelation describes it in this way. Some things have been, some things are, and some things are coming. Some things are going to be. And so he would have them to look. But again, my emphasis here in this message is that we note how strongly everything points to and is centered around the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this glorified, ruling and reigning estate. And so we would be impressed with the fact that much of what we see is symbolic in that the weight of glory. Now, someone said, well, I believe the Bible is literal. Well, I don't think we can literally see or comprehend the glory of God. So we're presented with those things that perhaps we can create or envision something mentally as to what has taken place, and yet we are left with the understanding that it's so far greater than what we can imagine or what we can conceive of in our poor human minds. The intensity of the scene is certainly registered on John, and as we see, his reactions are being described, and thus he expresses deep emotional involvement. Nothing here is a matter of fact, and nothing is here is being taken for granted. He sees it, he worships, he's drawn out in this thing. So it behooves us to see and to know God has appointed that all honor, glory, and praise be directed through his Son, and that all that is given and received with men is through Christ, and that redemption makes it all so, and that required the sacrifice of the Lamb. Make no mistake about it. At the center of it all is the fact that, and even as we see him here, and I may say more about it, but a lamb as it had been slain. He is crucified. He has risen. He is coming again. So the throne of God in the book, in those first four verses, we read this. John, what he sees one sitting on the throne, and we could think what we want. Is that God? Well, no man shall see God. Every manifestation in a physical form of God is to be comprehended in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But he has a book. It's written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And that as we look to that, then many begin to wonder, you know, what is going on? This depiction of God on his throne is seen in chapter 4 as of resplendent glory and the seat of all power. And we are reminded of the words of the psalmist, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 115:3. From Genesis to Revelation, the perceptions of God by the faithful are of infinite glory. We see glory, we see dominion, we see power. We see it in the works of creation. And we're told, Psalm 19 describes to us what we ought to be beholding and what we all ought to understand concerning the vastness, the wonder, the splendor of this creation. And yet it does not reach unto the splendor that belongs unto him. We benefit in redemption. We're made to see, made to understand the sovereignty of God, the work of God. We experience it in the providence of God. This is his dominion and his power that I'm talking about. He creates, he redeems, and thus he also orders things in accordance with his will. Romans 8:28, so well known to so many, declares that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And there we understand the providence of God, that is the rule and reign of God, in such a way as to make everything that transpires work for his glory and for the good of his people. So the book now becomes the center of attention and the reason of presenting Christ. So what is it? Someone say, well, it's this, it's that, it's the other. But even as we read later on in the book and understand, that is in the book of Revelation, and understand that as the seals are opened, that things are pictured, things begin to happen, things are described as occurring on the earth. And so I would submit to you that what is being set forth here is this is the book of the decrees of God. This is sealed up. Daniel was told on one place, no, seal up the book. It's not for now. And as we come now to this, we see this book sealed with seven seals, but how's it going to be opened up? How's it going to be unfolded? Who's going to administer it? And so it becomes then a matter of not only of the opening of the book, but of the administering of the rule and reign over the world, and that in accordance with the purpose of God in redemption. In other words, this is setting forth what God has determined to do. It's been settled from all eternity. God dwells in eternity. It's a great mystery. We sort of think God's has a learning curve, but he does not. All things are known unto him from the beginning. If it is not open and read, however, then God's purpose is not carried out. And so it become a cause of much weeping. John perceives here the ultimate importance of what is being set forth, of what is being declared. And so, as he thinks in terms of this, he can't help himself. And so he knows that what's in there, it has to be worked out. That's God's will. That's his purpose. And John is very jealous for that. And then one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Ah, it's going to be taken care of. The root of David, promised in the Old Testament scriptures. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And as he looked, he said, behold, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood that lamb as it had been slain. It had to wait the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ to be fully opened, to be fully administered. And so this is exactly, the scepter has not departed. Jacob said the scepter would not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. Well, Shiloh has come, and here it is. And he is seen as the root of David, who saw him as his Lord, as the one prevailing to open the book. So when John saw, he looked, verse 6, in the midst of the throne, in full majesty, having been given the right to rule and reign until his enemies be made his footstool, a lamb as it had been slain. This was the Redeemer Christ. This was he who had carried out all these things. It had been done. It was well ordered. And so he is described as having seven horns, the symbol of might and power. Having seven eyes, complete knowledge and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He is even now coming forth conquering and to conquer. He has, he is, and he shall. That is conquer. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is conquering, carrying out the rule and reign of God on earth exactly the way he would have it to be, and he shall emerge and appear to all as victorious over it all. He, as one with co-equal authority, took the book from him that sat on the throne. After all, he is both man and God. And so this becomes very important to us. The throne then erupts with praise, and it's the praise of all. When he had taken the book, the redeemed ones, the four beasts and the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb and utilized every instrument of praise. Then erupted the greatest and most awesome chorus of praise. The new song of redemption begins, and these sing of the accomplishments of the Lamb and his blood. They are soon joined by an innumerable company of angels, and those of such strong voices amplify the message of the redeemed and the Lamb by crediting him as being alone worthy to receive riches and power and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're reminded here of a great and a grand crescendo of praise. And I think that it's so important that we understand that. As we see this various levels, it begins with those 24 elders, the beast, and they are worshiping. They all have them harps, golden vials full of odors, the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song, redemption song. And as they begin to do that, they begin to extol what has taken place. Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then the voice of the angels joins in around about. And the beast and the elders and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Oh, my friend, praise unto God. Praise unto the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Glory be to the Lamb. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, so it is for, even now, and so shall it ever be, world without end. Amen. And thus, as we see this, there soon the crescendo is made complete. And that crescendo, you know, this sometimes these large, big orchestras and all, as they come to the end of a classical piece of music, the music gets louder, the instruments are all together, and it becomes then, it just keeps swelling in a chorus and in bringing forth the intent of the composer. And here the crescendo is made complete when all of creation joins the chorus and declares blessing and honor and glory and power to the enthroned God and the Lamb, who is the Redeemer God forever and ever. And the four beasts just said amen. And the elders, emblematic of redeemed ones, worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We would note that every one of the angelic host in heaven has their eyes focused on the worthy Lamb of God. And they delight to do his will. And they rejoice at all that he does. You know, when our Lord said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is how it is done in heaven. Focused on the worthy Lamb, worshiping and delighting to do so. Holy, holy, holy is their cry, Lord God Almighty. Furthermore, every true preacher of the gospel and every true witness to the saving power and majesty of God has eyes only for Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all toward him. They don't talk about how good a preacher they are or how wise their sayings are. They're not trying to be cute. They're pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they dare not honor or glorify any other. And the day is coming, and perhaps soon shall be, when all of creation will be found looking to him and enjoying him forever. And so the question falls to us, are we as those who love his appearing? The promise is unto them that love his appearing. So said the writer of Hebrews, so said the apostle Paul. Not to me only is that crown of righteousness, but unto everyone that loves his appearing. Oh, my friend, may the Lord direct your focus fully upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in him alone. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwb.org. We at the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer. Lord God.
Trinity.